pretty cool that God talks to us, right? Sounds a little weird sometimes. I remember I used to hear that as a new Christian and think, what? God talks to you? But I guess a whole personal relationship was pretty new to me as well. But, you know, if we have a personal relationship with God, communication is part of that relationship. If you say, I have a very close relationship with someone, but they just don't talk to me, you think, I don't think you have a good relationship with that person, right? And God wants to speak to us in really particular ways. And we believe, in our church, we believe God's speaking all the time. Right now, He's speaking all the time. He's wanting to communicate to you. And, you know, we often, when we hear this word speaking, though, sometimes that's a little hard and it kind of throws us off a bit. In fact, even our graphic with the ear, it's kind of like, you know, audibly we hear God. And quite honestly, we have to understand that speaking actually means communication. Right? I was going down Doherty Ferry last week and they had a construction going on and I slowed down and the guy in the orange vest was a bit confused and I was a bit confused. He had the sign halfway between slow and stop. I wasn't sure what that meant. And then he looked at it and he looked at me and he looked at me and went like this and he went like this and he went like this and he turned and it went to go and I slowly went through. I looked at him and he was smiling, so I think I did the right thing. And then I came out and there's other people waiting and they waved at me, so I go, okay. A lot of communication happened in that one moment. Not a word was spoken, right? Communication can be many different forms of what it means to communicate. There's a few young little girls that hug me when I come here for service. It makes my day. It communicates so much, but they don't say a word, right? And so understanding that, God is a God who wants to communicate with you. There's something, it's so clear in Scripture that He wants to communicate with you. Now, here's a question. Why does He want to communicate to you? Well, we have lots of, there's lots of reasons, right? I mean, many times we think of communication, I need to know what to do. I need to know what He says on this thing. I need to be directed. I need to be led. It's true. I need to know wrong from right. I need help. I need empowerment. But if you really summarize what the ultimate reason that God wants to communicate with you is because He wants to be in a relationship with you. Communication equals knowing God and being known. Right? You know God when you communicate with somebody. You know, and when you communicate with God, you understand God. And not only that, is when you begin in this place of communication with God, you actually start understanding at a deep level that He actually gets you and He knows you. Right? That's pretty cool. Now, the thing about this is that communication, this seems obvious, and what we're going to do here, I'm going to kind of lay out some foundational things for this whole series, right? So first off is this place is that, you know, when we talk about hearing God, we're talking about Him communicating to us. And that He's doing it because it's a relational thing that He's wanting to build and be known, because as we know God, we begin understanding how to live in this world in that relationship. And the other is that communication requires speaking and listening. You husbands, you need to pay attention to this. All right. So, I mean, it's both, right? It's speaking and listening. It's this place of relationship. And I say that because in the Scripture, what's really clear is our part is listening. Our part is seeking to hear, right? And so we see that word quite a bit. And in this place of seeking to hear. And so when we think I want to say this up front, because many times the reason that we don't hear God is because we really don't want to. Have any of you guys been there, right? You don't want to hear what He has to say, or you're not pursuing Him. And, you know, I've talked to people and I say, is God talking to you? I hope not. I don't want Him talking to me, right? I've been there. And I'm going to say that, but even as a follower of Jesus, we're called to seek His righteousness, seek God above all, to love God above everything else, which takes us to communication. But if that is not your heart, hearing God becomes very difficult because it requires communication and it requires your heart to be desiring and seeking after it. And when we say seeking, Dallas Willard had this great analogy of what seeking God's voice is. Right? Seeking what He's saying. And He says, have you ever had a place in which that, oh no, do we have no graphics at all now? Okay. We have to trust them. All right, so the other is this.
Is seeking is, if you guys have you ever lost your car keys and you have to go someplace really important, right? Now, here's the thing. Where do you seek your car keys? Where do you look for your car keys? Everywhere. That's seeking. That's what it means to seek God. His voice is, you're looking everywhere for him speaking, right? Because God is speaking in all these things, and you're looking everywhere for that, right? With this need and desire for that. Now, this is what Jesus talks about when he talks about having ears to hear, eyes to see. You know, he says, open ear. He's not like unplugging them physically. He's not saying, you know, put on your glasses and see. He's saying spiritually, you need to open your eyes and you need to open your ears, right? But Jesus is saying, if anyone have ears to hear, that's a starting point. Like, there's some people who don't. The people who don't want to hear, don't hear. The people who don't have a heart that's responsive and sensing and seeking don't have ears to hear. But if you have ears to hear, you should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And I like this, and you will receive even more. I love that add-on in 24. Like, wait, if you have ears, listen and understand. But if pay really close attention. The more that we can listen to God's voice in detail and specifics, the more we receive. Right? Now, I love that. Now, Jesus, when he would be talking about this, he was talking to disciples about this new way of hearing God. Now, he's talking to his disciples in John 16. And he's saying to his disciples, okay, now imagine this, being one of his disciples. Things are getting hot. Things are going on. He keeps talking about dying. He keeps talking about raising up. He keeps talking about, and all of a sudden he's kind of getting them together. He's preparing them. He's preparing them for him to leave the earth, okay? They've been with him 3 years. They can talk to him. They can connect to him. And he says, oh, by the way, it's going to get really bad in a little bit here, you know? And you need to, I don't want you to fall away, so I'm telling you now. So right now, you got their attention pretty well right now. He says, but then he goes on, but now I'm going away. That's not a good thing to follow up with. It's going to be rough, right? Now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking, where am I going? Instead, you grieve because what I've told you. And there's, what they're saying is like, I can't concentrate on what you're saying really, because you're leaving and all this hard stuff coming. How is this possibly going to work? Right. And so they're thinking, I don't know what's happening here, you know? And so they begin thinking about this, as far as they realize he's leaving, all these things are coming. And then he says, you're not even paying attention because you're just so sad I'm leaving. You didn't ask where I'm going. Where I'm going is so important. He goes, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. And if I do go away, then I will send him. I will send him to you. So this idea is like, you understand, if I go away, things get better. And I'm guessing right about that time, their head is so spinning, they can't quite concentrate on what he's saying. And it says, and when he comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin, that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Now, that's a whole sermon, just those few verses, 8 to 11. Let me just put a summary on this. He's basically saying this. I'm leaving, and you're grieving, but you have to understand, it's really good that I'm leaving. Because I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, everything's going to be different. You're going to see things, because the Holy Spirit's with you, in ways you've never seen before, about sin, about this whole thing of sin, and you're also going to have an understanding of righteousness and judgment in different ways than you do now. Okay? Now, what he was saying there is saying, because of what Christ is going to do, which they can't see now, when you come out of it, you're going to understand that sin separates us from God and that you need righteousness. You're going to understand that in a way you haven't before. That sin separates us from God. And you're going to understand that righteousness is not from you. It's from above and it's a gift. And because I came and died, now you have found righteousness because of that. You're going to see righteousness in a whole different way. And before, you remember we had this enemy of this world? Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he's been defeated already. He's been judged. And now you have the authority of that and you don't have to fear judgment either. So you're seeing all these things differently. You know, now think about this. Think about Peter when he first stood up at Pentecost. It was a whole different person. Holy Spirit comes. What does he do? He knows he's right before God, right? And he understands the sin is separating. So he preaches a sermon. This is what's happening. And then he invites people to receive Jesus to have his righteousness, right? But he does this with authority. He's not afraid anymore because the enemy has been defeated and he no longer fears, right? So this crazy thing happens. So if you can imagine me, the disciples taking this all in, it says, I love how he says, this is, there is so much more. And they're thinking, that's enough, you know, just, okay, I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now, right? It's something you're going to have to see on the other side of this thing. He says, when the Spirit comes, the truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's kind of like, I'll tell you later on the other side, all right? He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me, what he will make known to you. And then so after he says this, he says, Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you'll see me. At this, the disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you'll see me no more? And in a little while, you're going to come see me. You're going to see me again. Like, what's he talking about? Right? You have to realize how hard this was in the grass. It's very similar to saying, don't worry, I'll be with you always. And then he leaves. Right? You're like, whoa, what does that mean? But they didn't understand. When the Holy Spirit came, they thought, oh, it is better. Right? Now, I've said this throughout the whole series of the Spirit-Empowered Church, and I've said it a couple times, but it's worth saying again. Now, listen to that. If you didn't hear it before, understand the disciples who had Jesus right by their side, who was walking in relationship with them, who could access him. When the church was formed and the Holy Spirit indwelled the believer and Christ did his work on the cross, this new covenant started. And they were in a much closer relationship with Jesus. They were listening to Jesus more. They were responding to Jesus more. They were understanding what Jesus was saying more. And Jesus was not on earth. And this is the covenant that we're under. So we get to experience that same thing. Now, another way that when we talk about hearing God is understanding that it's Jesus literally with us, speaking to us. The things that he has from the Father speaks directly to us. So we can hear Father, Son, Holy Ghost as we listen to God's Spirit. But Jesus, when he would talk about what this is like, he described it to being a shepherd and sheep, right? And so, you know, in a shepherd's pen, there would be lots of different sheep from different places. They'd all be piled in there at night with this brick wall around them, right? There'd be a gate. At night, they'd put him in this pen, and then they'd let him go to the pasture. And so they open the gate. The gatekeeper opened the gate. And then the shepherd would come, and there's many different sheep in this thing. And he would call out the names of the sheep, and those sheep would come. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, about all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, so when we talk about this place of God communicating to us, what he's saying is, this is what it's like. And it's a shepherd who the sheep, and then what they would say, the thief would be there as well in this picture of this parable. And the thief, whenever he would speak, they would run away. They would recognize that's not the shepherd's voice. But when the shepherd spoke, he called on my name, and they, you know, they recognized, and they're just sheep. So this gives me hope for myself listening to God. And they were just sheep, right? And they could spot the shepherd, and they would come out, and it would take them to life. It would take them to all the things that was there for. This is what we have. We have God, who's our shepherd, and he speaks in a voice that we can understand, and we can hear, and we can respond to, right? Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more you understand, the more you'll be given, and you will receive even more. All right? Now, as we look at this, the vehicles of which, I mean, God speaks to lots of different things, right? So, it's the same God speaking to many different things, but I thought we'd start and just say, okay, we need to seek God. We need to listen, you know, we need to understand his voice. And so, but how do we, what vehicles does he use? Okay. In other words, like what vehicle does he use to communicate? What does he communicate by, in, through? Okay. You guys are smart. Let's do a little classroom here. All right. Let's throw out some things. Biblically, what you've experienced, how does God speak? What's the vehicle he uses? Levi. Okay, what did you say? He uses them all? That's actually good. So that summarizes, we're done. All right? Last week it was, he uses wives. Yeah, that's for you. That was good. Huh? Yeah, yeah. That last service, yeah, last service, they said wife was a high one. How does God speak? Other people, right? What else? Through Scripture. Nature, creation. It testifies to God. What else? My wife. That's right. See? I told you. It's right up there in the list. What else? What'd you say? Prayer. All right. What else? Dreams, visions, impressions, right? Music. Yeah. Worship. What else? Yeah, he sends his peace, and he speaks in that spot of his presence. What else?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, just the Holy Spirit directly, right? Just sensing what God says, right? Donkeys, you know, it's everything. He can kind of speak with anything. He can speak audibly. I've not had that happen. I know some have. I'm kind of close. I can almost say it, but not quite. I want that real audible, you know, like, wow, that was a voice. Did you hear that voice? I heard that voice. Yeah, that's what I hear. I didn't know that. So, you know, but he can speak godly. I've always wanted to see an angel. Anybody seen an angel? Oh, cool. Okay, we have a couple. I've never. Oh, she did actually. Yeah, she did one time. I remember. It's on video. So, yeah. So, yeah, honestly, there's things like that. So we actually, you know, I want to see an angel, not like right before I die, like right before I die. I want to be able to tell some people about it on earth, right? So that's just my request, God. All right. So, you know, dreams, visions, supernatural signs. Sometimes, you know, he can use burning bushes. He can use anything, right? He just uses things to speak through. But as we look at this, when we look in Scripture, I want to narrow this down, because I'm not qualified to speak on angels or audibly, but I can narrow it down to what is very central in Scripture. And the things that are so central in Scripture that what we want to focus in on today are these three. Prayer, Scripture, and the body of Christ. Remember in Acts, at the Holy Spirit, what they do? They devote themselves to what? Prayer, the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship. We see that all the way through. All right? So we're going to kind of break that down and talk a little bit about it. First is this place of prayer, you know? Oh, excuse me, I'll start with Scripture. Scripture speaks through, you know, God speaks through Scripture. And I use this verse a lot because it just kind of quickly gets to the point. If Jesus needs Scripture to hear his Father, we need Scripture to hear his Father. Right? Jesus did a lot in the 30 years before his ministry. He studied a lot of Scripture. He memorized Scripture. And so what we look at is, as his ministry starts, his first thing that happens, the Spirit takes him in to the wilderness, right? But how he heard God, because it's hard to hear God after you haven't eaten for 40 days and you're being attacked by the enemy. It's really hard to sense and feel. And so Jesus showed us what to do. And he spoke, it is written. This is what the scripture says. You know, people do not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he would speak scripture, right? If it's good enough for God, for Jesus, we have to understand. And the reason he could speak scripture is he loved scripture and he knew scripture. All right. You know, there's this kind of spot where scripture has this. It's so helpful, right? There's so many things that you can hear God on so quickly because they're in scripture, right? And as you know it, you don't even have to, you just kind of half open yourself to God and scripture comes. You know, when you're in a spot where you're thinking, wow, I need to pray about it. Should it be proud or should it be humble? Think of fast and pray. No, you don't. I know that if I'm proud, I'm opposed. I know that if I'm humble, I experience grace. Or if I'm in a spot where I'm really worn out and I'm stressing and I feel this weight on me and I can't breathe right. You know what I know? Jesus wants to lighten my load. He wants to yoke with me in a different way. He wants to come and take weight off of me. I just know that to be true. Right? How about the place of, I want to judge somebody. I don't have to pray about it. I can't. I can't be judged. Right? When a condemnation comes, I think, wait a second, this is not God. There's no condemnation in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Everything. We know scripture, it starts becoming the way you live. It's life-giving, right? You know, it's this place where this person's hurt me. What do I do? Let God come into that, but eventually you're going to have to forgive them. It's not, there's no option. God, help me. Then we call out to God and say, show me, God, how to do this. This place of, you know, we give because we've been given. We give away. We lose our life so we can find it. You just go on and on. You know, we can be angry. We shouldn't sin. Don't let the sun go down to your anger, you know. When I'm around my wife, and I don't know how many times I hear this one, you know. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Oh, man, that's kind of a high standard, you know. It kind of covers everything. Like, how do you get out of that one, right? Or you start being mean to your spouse and God says, you know, if you're hurting someone who's tied to you, you're hurting yourself by the way you're treating your spouse. I mean, these are all just verses, right? But if you start understanding their life, and that's why it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It goes down these deep spots. It's God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, and equipping us. It's life. Now, some of you may have had scripture, you know, be put on you as this place of shoulds and shouldn'ts and rules and principles to live by. And you actually even know the scripture, but you kind of relate to the Pharisees who have all the information, but they're not doing good with God, right? It's like it doesn't feel like life, but it's living and it's breathing. It's the lamp to our feet. In other words, it shows you how to walk and shows you where to walk, the light to our path. And so, if we want to be able to be people who actually hear God, we have to get scripture deep in our heart, and the Holy Spirit will keep bringing it out at moments, and we'll be able to know how to live in that very moment reading it, but also it'll follow us as we go. The next is this thing of prayer. When do you pray? All the time. Different kinds of prayer, but in all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests. Pretty well sums it up, right? You can't escape God's Spirit, right? Wherever we go, His Spirit's there, right? No matter where we go, so you might as well talk to Him, right? He's there anyway. Talk to Him. Let Him speak to you. Let Him bring His life to you. If you can't figure out what to do, if you lack wisdom, which is most of my life, just ask for it. He just loves giving you and telling you what you need to know. Lamentations, I love it. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait on Him. To the person who seeks Him, it is good He waits silently. Let him sit alone and be silent. I love that because here's a very, it sounds almost silly, but if you want God to speak to you more, you need to be in places and slow down and stop so he can. The more you give him time to speak, the more he will say. And sometimes you just have to be quiet for a long time because he has particular things you need to get settled in your heart so he can speak into those places. Right? The thing of prayer is just amazing how God speaks through prayer. Just in our everyday life as we're going along, we just say, God, what's happening here? Again, God is with us. Jesus is with us. He's accessible. And he will help us and give us wisdom whenever we ask. And this whole thing of the body of Christ, you know, God peeks through the body of Christ. I don't know how that changed. That was not there last week. God speaks to the body of Christ. But he also peeks the body. I don't know how that works. There's some kind of theological truth in there somewhere. I'm not sure. But he speaks to the body of Christ. In Ephesians, it talks about, you know, the body that we have now again a part of. You know, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Just as Christ also does in the church, because we are members of his body. In other words, whether we understand or not, we are all connected. And the way that we interact with each other is how God comes through and speaks. In Ephesians it says, speak the truth in love, growing up in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And then the last part, for where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. The thing about this is I cannot tell you what this church has done for me, because I've had you guys speak truth and love to me so many different ways, by your models, by what you say directly to me, by the way you've counseled me. I mean, and I did hear your voice as you were talking, and I was glad you did it. But when I was hearing it, I was hearing God's voice, right? You guys know that one, right? When you receive prayer and someone prays over you, you're hearing their voice, but you're hearing the voice of God speak in places of encouragement, identity, healing, truth, just all these things, comfort. And the way we respond to each other, we're designed to hear God through one another. And part of the reason we always say, be faithful, show up, be present. When you go to your small group, go to Sunday morning, be there, be engaged, is because God speaks through his body. And isn't it amazing if you think about oftentimes the places that God spoke to you? Do you know how many times you're going to say, oh yeah, I was in this service, I was in this small group, I was in this prayer time, I was in this gathering, I was in this. Like, what's the deal? It's because God gets in on it. His presence, he just talks loud when we're around each other. He speaks in the areas, right? And so we just get around each other. Don't even do anything. God talks in ways that we can understand through one another. Right? I mean, it's a pretty cool deal. And the thing about it is that all these things are different, right? Scripture, even different types of prayer, gathering together by yourself in the car, being silent before God, worshiping, you know, they're different. The body of Christ, it's unique. Everybody, there's all these different people with different personalities talking to you. It's different. But what you have to understand is it's the same God through all of those things, right? And he, and you can know his voice, and it's the same voice through all those things. So when I'm reading scripture, and all of a sudden I see what God's saying, it feels just like if Sarah was praying for me and God speaks to me, it's the same voice, right? Because it's the same God. Or in this place where it's the same as when I'm praying and I feel God's presence and his speaking into me in this area that he's directing me on, it feels the same as when I'm reading scripture, right? If the voice is the same, the vehicles will look differently, right? And so the voice will have, I want to talk, and I'm going to kind of close with this as far as talk a little bit about the way God's voice, how you recognize it. And I'm using something from Dallas Willard. And I hate to admit this. I've added some to it. So it doesn't seem like I should ever add anything to Dallas Willard, but I added a little bit to it. So if it's really good, it's probably Dallas Willard. If it's really bad, that part's probably me. So, but I think this holds true. And, but I think it's good to get a kind of a feeling, because, you know, every voice has something about it. Its tone, it's connected to the person. It's really a personal thing, right? And so what Dallas Willard talks about, he talks about the tone of God's voice. He talks about the spirit. I might put that as the character of God, okay? And then he also talks about the content of what God says. And those are ways you can recognize, is this God's voice, right? And the more you trust God's voice, let me make sure you get this right. If you want to hear God's voice, is you start acting on what you hear, and you'll trust it more and more, right? It doesn't just all of a sudden happen. You trust the voice, and you see the fruit, and you trust the voice, you see the fruit, and you learn to trust his voice more and more, right? But on tone. And these are words that, you know, may hit you or may not, but pay attention to the ones that stand out to you. It's like when God speaks, there's kind of a weight to it. It impresses you. It kind of stands out, right? It highlights often something, right? It's not from you. You didn't think it up. Now, it doesn't mean that your thoughts aren't processing it, but it's like if you had that kind of thought where you go, what do I think about that? Well, wait a minute. You didn't come up with that. You're trying to analyze something that you're trying to process that has come into the picture, right? So God speaks in that way. He speaks with this tone of confidence. He never feels insecure when he talks to me. Like, oh, I'm nervous. You know, he over dramatizes. He just kind of is very secure because he's God. And his voice, it settles and sticks. You know what I mean? You try to think about it, but it keeps coming up. Or you just give it a little bit of time, it's there again. It just settles. And it's like a truth just settles in. You have to decide what you're going to do with it. Another way I put it is often it's a still and a small voice. God can speak in very dramatic ways and loud voices. He's done that a few times with me. But most of the time, and what we see in Scripture, he speaks in this still, small voice. Even when you have dramatic things to get your attention, right, he speaks oftentimes in a still, small voice, right? And in that spot, that's really important to know, because he wants us to be listening. He wants this interaction, you know? I keep thinking, wouldn't it be good if I woke up and God just gave me a checklist and I could say, thank you, God? And no, he doesn't want that. He wants to speak where I have to keep listening to him and keep engaging with him. And it is not, his tone is never argumentative or screaming or justifying or trying to convince. If you have that kind of thing, like you start justifying, you start giving all the reasons why that, you know, that's not the way God speaks. Now, I'd say in the spirit part, or kind of his character is a loving and wise father. Now, sometimes a loving wife power can say things strongly, but it's always relational. There's always usually a warmth or a peacefulness, but it can also be very convicting, you know, and challenging. But it feels good. It's affirming oftentimes. And I put it this way, it feels right. But it bears witness to your spirit. This is true. And what's interesting, it feels right even when you're resisting it. It's like there's this thing that happens and you go, oh, no, and you're resisting it, but you kind of think, I think it's right, right? So it's this weird thing where it bears witness. It's never threatening. It's never fear and threat. It's not shame or condemnation. It never has that spirit to it. It's never confusing. He knows we're sheep. He makes it so we can understand it. And it's not super complicated. If you feel like oh, it must be this, and you're putting all the puzzle pieces together, and it's this, and I had this prophetic word, and it may be this, and I have this sign. It's like, God speaks in a way we can understand, and he doesn't overwhelm us, and it's not a mystery hiding behind his back. He's a loving father that communicates so we can hear him. And then the content, pretty important. It's just true. I mean, it's just truth. That's that bear witness. And it's true that causes you to see differently. It's revelatory oftentimes, where all of a sudden the lights turn on. You see a perspective from a different perspective than you did before. You're seeing it from God's point of view in ways you hadn't before. And then you also get to this place where it can be very instructive. He's just helping you, just like a dad would. He's saying, let me show you what we need to do here, and here's the instruction. It really feels like an invitation. Even his commands feel like an invitation. Will you follow me? It's kind of a command, but it's kind of an invitation, right? It's that feeling of a challenge to say, will you do this? I'm welcoming you. I'm wooing you. And it'll be an invitation. But the content is always aligned with Scripture and never contradicts the character of God. And that's why Scripture is so important to know. You know, but we have to understand that, you know, so when I decided that God told us to plant a church in St. Louis, I could not find it in the Bible. You know, I looked everywhere. I would like to see that. I couldn't. But I also had to make sure, is this within God's will? You know, he doesn't tell me if I should move or not, but I need to make sure my heart's right according to Scripture so I can hear him, right? But it doesn't ever contradict Scripture. All right. So I hope that's helpful. And what I just want to encourage us is that if you're here today and you're not interested in following God, I mean, and in all honesty, I'm not saying it in a negative way. That's just not where you're at. And you think, it would be kind of interesting to follow God. I'd may be open to that, but I'm not sure. Then start praying that. Start talking to him. Start listening to him for what's your next step, right? Some of you, though, are in places in which that, you know, you know God's but maybe you're at a spot where part of the reason you're not hearing God is because there's some things he's talking to you about already, and you're not saying yes to those things, right? And so it's like if you're at a kid, some of you have had kids or watched kids, like, you know, you say, hey, do this, and then you come to the table. And then they ask you about what's going to happen after lunch, right? And you say, do this and come to the table. Because you're wanting them to understand that you have to trust what I'm doing now to see what's coming next, right? And so oftentimes we get to spots where we find ourselves in a way that we're just not wanting to hear what God has to say. And he's already saying some things. And even if you don't know what to do with those, he'll help you know how to take those steps. But for me, I think we're just excited to hear God more. And I just wanted, if you've never thought you could hear God, that's not true. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And the very things the Holy Spirit's speaking to you is directly coming from Jesus, who's connected to God, and all things are there. And he has amazing things prepared for you. And he just wants to allow you to see it. So, as we look, if anyone has ears, you should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. I mean, that's Jesus' own words. Like, pay attention. Whatever God says to you this morning, today, right now, pay attention and say yes to it. All right? So here's my challenge. The kids will be coming in here for a little bit for communion. The communion service can come on up and get prepared as well. Is the challenge is spend some time in Scripture, you know, and this week spend some time in prayer. And as you're hopefully have some time to spend around the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ, be very aware that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through those three things and approach them that way. And listen closely to what God says through those three things.